2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good afternoon. This is the 5 o'clock report. 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial-free. I'm Maria Chaleo, sitting in today for Jeff Kaplan. KSL's top story, and it is developing news at this hour. Masks are now required in all Salt Lake City buildings. Return of the mask mandate. KSL News Radio's Kara Hoffelmeyer begins our team coverage.
Salt Lake City Mayor Aaron Mendenhall issued an executive order moments ago calling for this mask mandate in city buildings. Her office says it's directly because of the CDC recommendations yesterday. The mayor called it an important step in protecting everyone working or visiting a city facility. Now, the pandemic endgame bill passed earlier this year prevents the mayor from making a mandate for the entire city, but she can mandate it in city controlled buildings. This means every person who steps inside a city building, a Salt Lake City building, will be required to wear a mask. Kira Hoffelmeyer, KSL News Radio.
Will masks even be considered in Utah schools now that the CDC is recommending them? State Senator Todd Weiler told David Dujanovic he would understand if county health departments made that recommendation.
We don't typically elect doctors or appoint doctors to set public policy. And if we did, maybe all of our speed limits would be 25 miles an hour because that would be safer.
He adds, under a new Utah law, county councils or commissions have the ability to choose whether to override a county health department mask mandate or not. Republican Senator Dan McKay told David Dujanovic masking should be a personal decision.
I just think let's give people the opportunity to balance the risk themselves. Federal or state mandates or employer mandates, all those other things, in my opinion, I think we're setting a dangerous precedent for what we're asking people to do.
Nearly 64% of all eligible Utahns have received at least one dose of the COVID vaccine. KSL's top national stories this half hour. In Washington, D.C., Republicans are punching back against House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's renewed mask mandate in the U.S. House. A maskless House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy criticized the mandate.
If we're trying to get America vaccinated, what type of message does this provide? We are vaccinated, we're not a hot spot, but they're forcing you to wear a mask, not in the Senate, but in the House. This is just about more control.
Speaker Pelosi says the requirement was made by the Capitol physician based on the CDC's revised mask guidance. Senator Mitt Romney is sharing his 2 cents on the CDC's mask recommendations for areas of high transmission. He told David Dujanovic the CDC made a tough choice, but it's best to listen to experts.
It's such a difficult decision because if you tell people they got to wear masks if they're vaccinated, then they think, oh, why should I get vaccinated? All right. So that has a negative impact. On the other hand, if there are people who pretend to be vaccinated and don't wear a mask on an airplane, for instance, that would be another problem. So when it came to getting my teeth fixed to a dentist, when it came to get cancer removed from my body, I went to a surgeon. And when it comes to public health matters, you know, I go to those that study this and are expert at it and look for their advice. And I think that's generally helped me better than looking on Facebook for perhaps some kid in their basement sending out texts to scare people.
Senator Romney adds that he and his whole family have been vaccinated. Developing news on KSL News Radio, the National Weather Service is reporting heavy rainfall over I-80 at Parley's Canyon near Big Mountain Pass right now. Ponding is possible on roads, making for some dangerous driving conditions. Weather watchers are keeping their eyes on a portion of Utah because of an enhanced risk of heavy rainfall and flash flooding. National Weather Service meteorologist Mike Wessler says this will stick around in northern Utah for a little while.
Basically, we have high pressure off to our east that gives us this south wind, and it's basically drawing this monsoonal moisture, right? That's that monsoonal flow pattern, is that south wind. And that's drawing monsoonal moisture north into the region. The piece of the forecast that's interesting this week is, yeah, southern Utah has been getting that, and it is more common for southern Utah to get that because they're closer to the Pacific and they're closer to that moisture source. But the way it's set up right now and why we're getting such an elevated heavy rain and flash flood risk up north is that you've actually got this moisture being pulled into the northern portion of the state. When you have that really high atmospheric moisture, you've got really high surface moisture, the environment's primed, you know, for these thunderstorms that can produce heavy rainfall.
Lost Creek watershed got 2 to 3 inches of rain in an hour this afternoon, as did Deep Creek near Davis and Morgan counties. National Weather Service is also issuing a flash flood warning for Emery County until about 5:15 tonight. The entire state is currently in drought, but the rainstorms and the conservation efforts are paying off. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards continues our team coverage.
100% of the state is still listed as extreme or exceptional drought. The drought coordinator for the Division of Water Resources, Laura Haskell, recognizes how much Utahns are working to slow the flow, and she says they are making a difference.
The reservoirs aren't dropping as fast right now with the rains and things. They aren't going down as quickly, which is good.
And daily flow from 28 headwater streams is flowing slightly above the previous minimum daily flow record. But there are about 2.5 months remaining in this irrigation time period. So Haskell asks people to keep doing what they're doing. Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
The rain isn't stopping reservoir levels from dropping, meaning more boat ramp closures. 7 boat ramps are currently closed at 6 state parks, including Antelope Island, Echo, Millsite, Paiute, Willard Bay, and Yuba. There are advisories issued for 8 additional state park boat ramps as well. The drought is also exacerbating Utah's algae bloom problem. A lake-wide advisory remains in place for Utah Lake and a danger advisory for Linden Marina. That means anyone who goes there should not swim, ski, or boat in the water, and definitely don't let your kids and pets in the water. Fishermen are advised to clean fish well and discard the guts. Fire officials are thanking Utahns for being responsible with fires and fireworks over the Pioneer Day holiday. There were fewer human-caused fires over this year's July 24th weekend than any on record. Department of Natural Resources Fire Prevention Coordinator Kate Webb says, "We can't get complacent now.
We are asking the public to not let their guard down and not become complacent. It's really easy when you hear about the flooding in southern parts of the state and continued rain showers to feel like a false sense of security that, you know, prevention isn't as necessary anymore, that fire risk has been fully eliminated, and that's not the case."
Webb says fire crews are still staying plenty busy with natural caused fires. KSL News Time, 5:05, and let's get a look at first look traffic with Ricky Meese.
Heads up, Weber County drivers, we have a road closure. Eastbound 5600 South is currently closed. At 2500 West, you need to avoid this spot and use an alternate route. We are seeing traffic starting to break up where earlier delays were at a stop-and-go pace. But even though they're breaking up, they're not clear. Northbound I-15, we had a stalled vehicle at North Temple. Now those delays stretch from Murray almost to 2300 North Warm Springs Road. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
The 5 o'clock report is brought to you by Any Hour Services Electrical, Plumbing, Heating and Air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time 5:07. This discussion of masks makes things feel like they're going backwards. But Fed Chair Jerome Powell says there's one way we could make things seem like they're returning to normal. Get your vaccine.
Continued progress on vaccinations would support a return to more normal economic conditions.
Powell also discussed inflation and confirmed the current inflation rate will likely stick around for a while.
We will aim to achieve inflation moderately above 2% for some time so that inflation averages 2% over time, and longer-term inflation expectations remain well anchored at 2%.
He says it will stick to make up for below average rates during the pandemic and initial lockdowns. Inflation is up across the country with a 5% increase over the last year. In part two of our Utah inflation series, KSL News Radio's Nick Wyatt looks at what's causing the rise in prices.
Identifying what creates inflation is complicated, but a big contributor, supply and demand, specifically an imbalance between the two. There's pent-up demand among Americans, including we Utahns, to get out and do stuff, to buy things, to go places. University of Utah economist Stephen Bannister says the problem is a supply chain disrupted by none other than the coronavirus.
You know, when the pandemic hit, production in many sectors started being cut back or shut down. They cut back on their forecasts and therefore their production. And it takes them a long time to ramp back up.
Bannister says introducing a bottleneck anywhere in the global supply chain will affect nearly everything downstream. Again, think about the computer chip shortage. It's led to a shortage of new cars, and good luck trying to find the new PlayStation.
So I think there's both a local component on the services side and a global component on production side in some of these global, you know, commodities like chips and even automobiles.
Fortunately, Bannister says this lag on the supply side of the equation will eventually catch up. He thinks the spike in inflation will eventually level out, but that's a big debate among economists right now. Guess we'll have to see. Nick Wyatt, KSL News Radio.
It's time now for Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News. It's brought to you by Any Hour Services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air, anyhourservices.com.
You know, you can barely find space at the gym parking lot lately. Everybody's heaving weights and burning rubber on the treadmill, chugging those protein drinks. Quick question, why? A 1,000 women were asked, what's your ideal body type in a man? 1,000 single women participated in this post-pandemic poll, and 75% of them said their perfect partner, their ideal mate, their Adonis, would have a dad bod. Three out of four single women are looking for a guy with barely perceptible pecs. Dudes, she wants to love the little wiggle in the way you walk. And by that I mean a slightly jiggly midsection. And that little bit of extra junk in the trunk, that's what makes you a keeper. It's a new world. And the psychologists are loving this. They say this is a sign of body positivity, that potential mates are more focused on getting to know a partner from the inside out, which is far healthier than falling for the flashy wrapping paper. So if you're single, maybe you might want to drive right by the gym and stop at McDonald's. She'll still want to be held in your less than rock solid arms. Hey, and she probably won't complain when your belly gets in the way of a warm embrace.
Kaplan's Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
Emergency traffic and weather together, brought to you by Zions Bank, your business banking home. Speeds are easing a bit, but delays are growing. That's the problem. We had an earlier stalled vehicle northbound on I-15 right around the North Temple area of downtown Salt Lake City on the freeway. Even though it's out of traffic, we now have delays that stretch all the way from 5300 South up to just past 6 North. Then on the southbound side of I-15, a crash. It is out of traffic on the right shoulder. And this is as you're approaching the I-215 junction. It is adding to the delays between 33rd and 90th South. And also some slowing. This is going to be eastbound I-215 South Belt as you're approaching the I-15 junction. Michelle?
Well, we're really backed up right now, 5600 West between I-80 and the 201 freeway, Bangor Highway. Scattered delays in spots from the 201 down to the Riverton-Bluffdale line. And still looking quiet, I-15 in Utah County. Steve?
And we have those northbound I-15 delays in Davis County scattered between the Caseville Ponds and Hill Air Force Base. And a crash causing big backups. Southbound I-15 at Riverdale Road in Weber County delays back to Midland Drive right now. Eastbound 5600 South and Roy is closed at 2500 West. And another crash on southbound Washington Boulevard at 2nd Street, Harrisville Road. That's on the right shoulder. Any Hour Services, electrical, plumbing, heating, and air. Their technicians helped over 60,000 Utah homeowners last year. Google Any Hour Services or visit anyhourservices.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. And here's Kevin Eubank with the hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, an hour-by-hour description as we head toward Thursday.
Thanks a lot, Marie. As we head through the 5 o'clock hour, we're looking at partly to mostly cloudy skies, temperatures near 90 degrees. Some strong thunderstorms over the mountains have bled over into some of the valleys up through Ogden and into Cache Valley. But for the most part, we're dealing with partly cloudy skies tonight. Temperatures into the 80s for 6 o'clock, mid-80s for 7, low-80s for 8. Ultimate lows will be in the mid-70s. With your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, I'm Kevin Eubank.
95 degrees downtown. A pedestrian has been taken to the hospital after being hit in a crosswalk in West Valley City this afternoon. Police Sergeant John Pittman has details.
He did not yield the traffic. He had the right-of-way, and he ran right out in front of a car and was hit.
The 30-year-old man is in critical condition. A pedestrian was hit by a Trax train at the Midvale Center station this morning. UTA's Carl Arkey reports a female got off another train at the platform and tried to cross the tracks when she was hit. She's in fair condition. She was conscious at the scene. A bus bridge is currently in place for the blue line between Fashion Place West and the Midvale station in both directions. A 4-year-old boy found dead inside his Hurricane home over the weekend died of suffocation. Hurricane Police Department reports that Cash Wallace was reported missing by his grandmother, who had put him to bed but couldn't find him in the morning. The boy was not found in an initial search of the neighborhood. Cash was ultimately found inside the house, inside a small toy chest in his bedroom. Utah Medical Examiner's Office says his death was a pure accident, but that he suffocated while stuck inside that box. Federal prosecutors in Michigan are asking a court to force disgraced U.S. gymnastics doctor, Larry Nassar, to increase his restitution payments.
U.S. attorneys in Michigan say since the start of Larry Nassar's incarceration, he's paid just $300, the minimum amount required toward the $62,000 in restitution and penalties he owes. The prosecutors, however, say over that same time period, he's received more than $12,000 into his prison account. Prosecutors are now asking the court to put Nassar's money toward his restitution and penalties until the money he owes is paid. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Trending right now, a Florida man washed up on the Florida coast earlier this week in a giant hamster wheel. Reza Bellucci said that he wanted to run on water from Florida to New York, but ended up 30 miles south of his starting point. Turns out Bellucci was rescued from a similar contraption back in 2014 and 2016. KSL News Time 5:15, the three things you need to know this hour. First,
masks are now required in all Salt Lake City buildings. City Mayor Aaron Mendenhall says the mandate is a direct result of the CDC's recommendations yesterday. I'm KSL News Radio's Kara Hoffelmeyer.
Second, heavy rainfall along I-80 in Parley's Canyon right now. The National Weather Service is warning of ponding on roads, making for dangerous driving conditions. Third, our biggest traffic trouble spot. Here's Ricky.
I-15 taking a hit in Salt Lake County. You're going to see slowdowns northbound from 5300 to 600 north. For Davis County drivers, a little bit easier than normal, but still slow from Kaysville, Layton into Clearfield. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Thunderstorms once again developing over the mountains in northern Utah with temperatures in the 90s. I'm Kevin Eubank.
Well, nothing like a storm to drop your temperature. We've gone from 95 to 88 degrees in the last few minutes. KSL's top national stories now from ABC News.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The Senate is taking a test vote on a bipartisan deal to rebuild the nation's infrastructure.
Republicans saying they will agree to physical infrastructure spending, but not trillions more for child care, early and adult education. Senator Chuck Schumer saying he's got a way to do both.
One, a bipartisan infrastructure bill, and two, a budget resolution with reconciliation instructions.
Which means a Democrats-only reconciliation bill, much like the spring's COVID relief spending, that Republicans did not support. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Kansas Governor Laura Kelly mandating masks for state employees starting Monday.
Those low vaccine rates have allowed the twice as contagious Delta variant of COVID-19 to spread like wildfire across the country and now our state.
Washington State and California recommending masks be worn indoors regardless of vaccination status. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo requiring some healthcare workers at state-run hospitals to get vaccinated. The governors of California and Nevada asking for more federal assistance in battling a wildfire which destroyed nearly 70,000 acres. U.S. gymnast Simone Biles has withdrawn from the individual all-around competition a day after taking herself out of the team event to focus on her mental health. The U.S. leads in overall medals, but not in gold.
Japan now has 13 gold medals to put on its mantle, the latest coming in the men's all-around gymnastics competition. As host country, Japan brought back Olympic baseball softball for the first time since 2008, and now is glad it did. The women of Team Japan have defeated Team USA 2-0 to collect top honors in softball.
ABC's Jim Ryan in Tokyo. Georgia's asked a judge to toss out a Department of Justice lawsuit challenging the state's sweeping elections law. Just moments ago, the Senate moved ahead, passing the test vote on the bipartisan infrastructure plan. You're listening to ABC News.
Time now for the KSL In-Depth. Olympic medalist Simone Biles has withdrawn from another round of the Olympics to focus on her mental health. KSL TV's Alex Cabrero is at the Games, and he joins us now. And Alex, what do you think? Is she going to compete in any upcoming events?
You know, Maria, that's the big question right now. Will Simone Biles compete in any future events since she just dropped out of this one as well? And right now, we just don't know. And Maria, yesterday you asked me, does Michaela Skinner have a chance to maybe compete if she does drop out? And I said I didn't think so. Turns out I was completely wrong. I apologize. Michaela Skinner, she could. If Simone Biles decides to drop out of it's the vaults, then yes, Michaela Skinner does have an opportunity to compete again.
Well, and she, I guess, tweeted that or said on Instagram that she hasn't left Tokyo just yet.
Not yet. No, no, because you never know what's going to happen, especially these games have been so out there, you know, as far
right.
as we don't know what's going to happen. Usually it follows a pretty strict list that, right, still out, still here. And waiting to see see if she's can compete or not. And also, Marie, real quick, I interviewed, remember Nathan Chen? He was our figure skater in 28 for Team USA in Pyeongchang.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's from Salt Lake City originally. And if there's anybody who understands what it's like to be the face of the U.S. Olympic team at a Games, it's Nathan Chen. And he had a terrible short program when he first skated. He fell down and stumbled a whole bunch of times. That really affected him because he says the mental pressure of being a gold medal favorite for an entire country and an Olympics with the marketing and everything, he says the mental stress got to him. And he said the games weren't fun. He didn't enjoy 2018, but he went through that experience, and he has a much better attitude now going into 2022 Beijing Winter Games because he says instead of being robotic and where it's serious and you have to win, he's allowing himself to be a human and this time to have fun. So we did that interview with him. We just had that on KSL television.
All right, Alex, thank you so much for your time today, and we'll check back with you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
And that is KSL TV's Alex Cabrero, and you can catch all of the exciting action on the Olympics on KSL Channel 5. Let's get you up to date on the drive. Traffic and weather is sponsored by Zions Bank, your business banking home. Ricky?
We do have delays. Southbound I-15 in Salt Lake County from 4500 down to 90th South with the final cleanup of that crash in Murray just after 53rd South on the right shoulder. But northbound I-15 really bogged down today, part of it due to a stalled vehicle, and then the weather came through. So it's a slow ride, and that's from the I-215 South Interchange Junction all the way to 6 North. Also seeing traffic filling in and slowing down westbound on the 201 between I-15 almost to Bangor. Michelle?
Well, again, we're pretty busy. This is 5600 West between I-80 and the 201 freeway, seeing some pretty good slowdowns for drivers on Bangor Highway, seeing some delays from Taylorsville in spots down to the Riverton-Bluffdale line. Still pretty quiet I-15 in Utah County, just dipping a little below the freeway speeds in spots between American Fork and Linden. Steve?
And if you're on northbound I-15 to Davis County, got the usual slowdowns from Kaysville there at Burton Lane up to about Hill Air Force Base. UHP still clearing that crash on southbound I-15 at Riverdale Road in Weber County. Delays are back to Midland Drive in Ogden right now. And we still have that crash on southbound Washington Boulevard at 2nd Street, Harrisville Road on the right shoulder. Get 0% APR and balance transfers and purchases up to 6 months, plus low rates and rewards with a new credit card from Cypress Credit Union. For details, visit cypresscu.com. Steve Carlson in the KSL Traffic Center.
Well, the thunderstorms have moved in. Let's check the 7-day forecast with Kevin Eubank.
Thanks a lot, Maria. Well, severe thunderstorms have popped up, especially east of the Wasatch Front today. These thunderstorms have produced a half inch to an inch of rain. Now, the coverage in these storms is going to expand as we head through the next few days, coming over the Wasatch and incorporating a lot of the valleys across the state tomorrow. 75 for the overnight low, scattered showers, thunderstorms on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Temperatures dip into the upper 80s for the weekend and then back to the 90s for the middle of next week. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Eubank.
Right now, 88 degrees in downtown Salt Lake City, and we have had a couple of texters talking about a funnel cloud, possibly a small tornado in East Ogden. We are checking that out for you. And you've been listening to the 5 o'clock report brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time, 5:23.
This is Derek Miller speaking on business. Utah's return to growth from the pandemic recession shows the strength of our economy's fundamentals. This broad and diverse economic foundation was built deliberately through foresight, planning, and execution on goals. Now, our competition is global, and we must think about our innovation advantages and build those industries that will keep Utah the best place for business growth. To achieve this, the Salt Lake Chamber created and launched the Wasatch Innovation Network. This network will bring together leaders and institutions to drive innovation across silos to broaden economic appeal and commercialization. The new organization plans to focus on four cardinal values around mentorship, growth, innovation, and acceleration to drive results for each participating group. The Wasatch Innovation Network will connect industry to capital, startup to incumbent, and academia to market, with the purpose of creating a team of teams to scale out Utah's innovation ecosystem. The organization will provide support for startups that includes mentoring, network development, assistance with capitalization, national and international engagement, and technology transfer from universities. Through the Wasatch Innovation Network, Utah can develop a first-in-the-nation innovation blueprint for other states to model. To learn more, visit the Salt Lake Chamber website. I'm Derek Miller with the Salt Lake Chamber, and this is Speaking on Business.
Want to sell your home fast without doing any repairs? Well, you need to call Sunday. Sunday will buy your home as is and give you the best possible price. Sunday can close on your timeline in as quick as 10 days. The process is so easy, you don't have to do anything. No showings, no cleanings, no repairs, and better yet, you even get a $10,000 cash advance when you sell your home to them. Go to Sunday.com. That's Sunday.com. Or call 800-25-OFFER for your free, no-obligation cash offer.
And we do have breaking news on KSL News Radio. A police officer missing out of Brigham City has been found dead today. Sergeant Chad Panter went missing on Friday, July 23rd. Police Department posted on Facebook saying Sergeant Panter was a highly respected member of the police department for 18 years, and they will miss him. Details around his death are not known. We do have Kevin Eubank joining us right now in the studio. And Kevin, we did have a couple of reports out of East Ogden saying, hey, has there been a funnel cloud or a tornado? And not quite that. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, so we actually just took a look at the video that we came in from one of our viewers. And what it appears to be is, again, northeast Ogden. It looks like what we would traditionally call a dust devil. So it's, again, from the ground up, taking dust, and it was swirling up, and it looked very, very impressive. They had some big storms in that area, so again, not out of the question that folks would be saying, hey, is that a funnel cloud or is it a dust devil? The difference is they can both be strong and they both can cause damage, but generally speaking, those types of funnel clouds will come from the cloud down, where these type of ground tornadoes, as they're called, or dust devils, come from the ground and work their way up, and that's the difference. This one looked to be working from the ground up.
And then do they last very long or do they go very far when they're a dust devil?
No, they don't have nearly the intensity or the organizational structure of a tornado. And so they don't last as long. They don't generally do as much damage, and they're fairly not benign because you can have some problems if you're around one. But again, the optics, if you're looking out from a distance, it's like, oh man, that could be a tornado. And so from a distance, it can definitely look like something more severe than it is.
Kevin, thanks for stepping in and helping us out with that. Watching Utah's money. McDonald's revenue jumped 57% to $5.9 billion. They reopened dining rooms, crispy chicken sandwiches, and collaboration with Korean K-pop group BTS helped push those sales. Let's take a look at your money at this moment. The market was mixed today on Wall Street. The Dow was down 127 points, ending the day at 34,930. S&P was flat, and the NASDAQ was up by 102 points.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.